Blog Talk Radio.
SportsCityChefs.com. We are back with the Crossover Cafe. It's your boy TP Timeless holding down this kitchen. I got some dishes for everybody out there. It's the Eastern Conference Finals preview. Or not the finals, but the Eastern Conference. Let me get it right. Let's go.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming. I'm using keeps you moving, what are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts, you making up slacks.
The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 90 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Unless it gets crazy in here, people want to start ranting about what topics or what dishes that may be thrown out around here. I'm your boy, TP Timeless, holding it down with the chefs in the building. First and foremost, let me allow some of these chefs to get their stuff off their chest before we get this preview rolling. Calling out of the state of Indiana, we got fantasy-based basketball. Why am I tongue twisted today? Mr. Royce King in the building. Royce, how are you feeling this evening? Welcome to the kitchen.
Thank you, Timeless. Glad to be back in the kitchen with the chefs. Man, I just got to know, is there any competition in the East for the Heat? I'm hoping we can really discover somebody that wants to get it on and dethrone the newest champion in the NBA and represent from the East. I think I got my eyes on a couple of contenders out of that Atlantic division, but we're going to see how it goes down in the kitchen tonight.
Easy. I got those dishes prepared. Easy. I just asked how you were. I didn't want you to start giving out the recipe, but I'm glad to have you in this kitchen. We got to start throwing stuff around here. And lastly, for now, my brother from the state of Illinois, Mr. Mark Mosley, is in the building. Mark, how are you feeling this evening?
Since you didn't take off the blazer and loosen up the tie, Mo steps inside the kitchen, so you know it's alive. I'm feeling good. Glad to be here back talking hoops on a Tuesday night. Get the espresso flowing because the cafe's going to kick off. I'm excited. Year two. The NBA is around the corner. I'm on my bullish, so what can I say? Well, of course we got to talk Eastern Conference tonight. I'm not going to get a tongue twisted. I think we got a lot to talk about tonight, but I'm excited to be here.
Okay, well, we're talking Eastern Conference. We got three divisions to talk about, the Atlantic, the Central, and the Southeast. I put all of these dishes together properly so we can jump into these teams as much as we possibly can. First and foremost, Roy did throw out the situation with the Miami Heat, so I have to be graceful here, even though it's turning my stomach, but I have to congratulate them on a job well done in knocking off the Thunder in the finals last year. And this is rightfully their conference. And looking at that situation, I do want to jump into that topic on what teams can actually compete with the Heat in the Eastern Conference. That was a topic that I wanted to address. Roy threw it out there. So I'm going to feed people this one first. Mark, I'll come to you first because I know Royce is ready to get at this. If you have a couple or some interesting perspectives, please do so.
Is there a team that could compete with the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference? The answer is no. There's not a team that could compete, and I don't think it's about competing with them. I think it's more or less realizing that they are going to be the cream of the Eastern Conference. They're going to pretty much be the team that everyone's chasing. They're going to have the bullseye every night. But that's nothing new for the last 3 years. I know the gap has widened because of Derrick Rose and Derrick Rose in particular. Now, are there teams that are still going to be able to give Miami a run when it comes to playoff team? Absolutely. I mean, that's why playoffs best of seven series are a little bit different than a regular season. Are the Heat going to be the number one team coming out of the Eastern Conference this year? Yes. I think hands down they're the best team. I think they're growing from learning how to play. And when you win a championship, let's be honest, you have a little bit of that swagger now that you've done it, you've been there. LeBron had been there a few times in the finals, didn't close the deal ever, so now he gets to join Dwayne Wade in that company of being a champion. And I think it will help them this year. How they come out the gate, I don't know. Sometimes there is a little bit of, I don't want to say championship hangover because that's just such a general term that everyone uses, but maybe it's just you realize that a season is long, that, you know, really until the end part of the regular season and playoffs, that's all that counts. So sometimes, you know, the championship teams take a little bit longer to get going, but then there is some, you know, that come out the gate and have that killer instinct all year, and then we talk about will they catch the Bulls and blah, 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 right, the chase for greatness. I think Miami will come out the gate hungry, and I think they'll be ready to defend the title. They'll be ready to go for a back-to-back. That being said, I'm going to say I do think they're clear-cut number one. Everyone else will be there for after, and will pretty much be chasing a number two seat. If Derrick Rose was healthy this year, I would probably say that you'd have two teams chasing that number one seed. I don't really see anyone else. I know Brooklyn's going to be a lot better this year. I think the Knicks will be better this year. I think Philadelphia will be better this year. But hands down to me, Miami's the number one. And even looking at their division, Orlando took a step back. So that was a team that usually used to compete with them in the Southeast, I think has taken a step back. Not too worried about Washington, not too worried about Charlotte. Of course, Atlanta will still be in the mix. But you got to remember, they did lose Joe Johnson. So how it will shape out, Heat still clear-cut number one in the East, no doubt in my book. I think it's just everybody else is chasing a two-seed, really, from day one.
Okay, Royce, I know you had this dish ready, so you can pull the fork and knife out and get busy. What teams do you have that can compete with them in the Eastern Conference?
Well, let me say this. I mean, I have to agree. If we're going to slow walk our way into the playoffs and just talk about the number one seed for the Eastern Conference, then hands down out the gate, I would have to agree with Mark. You know, the Miami Heat will set the tone for the Eastern Conference with the number one seed. That is to be expected. But you got to know, you're asking me a question about competing with them, in the East, I think throughout the regular season matchup, you'll just see a continuation of playoff-style basketball whenever the Heat and the Indiana Pacers get together. Right here in Hoosierville, that's all the Pacers are thinking about. That's all they're talking about. The focus is about the Miami Heat. When Vogel's speaking in practice, it's all about this is what it takes to beat Miami. That's their focus. That's their intent. So while the regular season is easily the Miami Heat number one seed, it's their conference. Again, you know, you got to look for Indiana and Brooklyn, as well as I think New York, and if Philadelphia can get a healthy Andrew Bynum productive on the floor, the number two seed is up for grabs in health. I mean, unfortunately, you never want to jinx a team. And, you know, I'm penciling in Miami at number one, but depending on the health of key players like Wade and like Bosh, that's going to determine whether or not they actually secure that number one seed. You know, I think my LeBron James himself is actually, he's not dialed it back in no way, sense or form or the fashion of the word, but what he has done is he's balanced himself out in terms of his games, playing out of the post, getting everybody involved. If he should lose, you know, Wade or Bosh, then you're asking him to return to the days of Cleveland and carrying the team on his back. And, you know, I get it. You got a little help with Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis, but they got to bring those guys along slowly because they're saving them primarily for playoff basketball. So I had to actually slow it down because, you know, I'm excited and, you know, almost got ahead of myself and started talking about Eastern Conference playoff matchups and how that was going to go down. But in the East, the number one seed, you know, will be the Miami Heat. Are they going to be challenged? As I stated, the Indiana Pacers are building to dethrone the Miami Heat. They see it as their conference to own, and the only way to dethrone the Miami Heat is you got to take them down with size and aggressiveness where they feel like they have the advantages out here in Indiana with the Pacers. So that's what I think is really going to go at Miami. You know, I can't really focus much on Chicago. I got a lot of respect for the Bulls. I love Coach Thibodeau. I like the way they play basketball. However, minus the MVP, in a regular 82-game season, I'm not sure they could compete for a high playoff seed. I actually don't even have them making the playoffs. And honestly, my preference for that team is to not make the playoffs and get Derrick Rose some help, because I really do, like I said, like the Bulls and what they're doing and where they're headed with that organization in terms of attempting to win championships. Another team in the East that I think is really going to turn heads is the Brooklyn Nets. They got pretty much, you know, arguably an all-star starting five. You know, jury's out on Chris Humphries as an all-star. However, you can't argue with his production over the last two seasons. Double-double machine. That's all he does is fill his role, play his position. And with Marshawn Brooks and Andre Blatch off the bench, these are talented guys that love to score the ball. And if Andre Blatch is truly motivated and committed to being a much better ball player than he was with the Washington Wizards, you can expect a solid rotation that's going to be a problem night in and night out for any team in the Eastern Conference. So that's just a little bit of what I got for the Eastern Conference times.
Okay, and you guys are kind of spilling into, you know, playoff window, if you will. I just wanted to, you know, just address the situation of who's going to be able to compete with these guys. I don't want to just look at it as the Heat being similar. I don't really want to throw the speculation of them being a 72-10 team like the Chicago Bulls or anything. I just wanted to see the interesting teams in their conference that could come at them and attack them. I have a few teams that can make it interesting. Now, there are some that I think can actually come out there and compete with them because of bench play, just like Royce hit on with a team like the Pacers. Also, with the elder players that are in the Knicks organization, if these guys can play a full 82-game season and make it interesting, they do have a bull of a Carmelo Anthony that actually kind of aggravates, if you will, a LeBron James, even though it really didn't show in the postseason last year. But the Knicks could also be another team. And also the Nets with the pickups that they have in this offseason, and also with the guy, just like we just mentioned, with Marshawn Brooks, this guy can actually score the ball. He has a great jump shot, and that could actually spell, a Joe Johnson situation if Joe's in foul trouble or gets tired. You got somebody that could come off that bench with the same type of ammunition to put the ball in the goal. So that's pretty big also with the Nets. And the Central Division, you got the Pacers there. It depends on if the Bulls really have it without Derrick Rose. I really don't think they could do it with John Lucas at the point. I mean, John could make some things happen, but he's not as, you know, electric as a Derrick Rose can be. But, you know, stranger things have happened. And in the Southeast, I'm really scratching my head if there's any team in that division that could compete, whether it be the Bobcats. The Hawks just lost a huge piece in Joe Johnson. And the Magic, they can look forward to the next 4 years, like they're saying. And the Wizards, I mean, they got John Wall. They also have Ariza there. Ariza's probably the only guy there that I feel that could turn some things around in the Wizards organization, but I don't really feel like they make a step toward coming toward the Heat. So, and another team that was in the Atlantic Division that I kind of wanted to tie in with the Heat that Royce hit on was the Sixers. I think the Sixers can also make a push toward the Heat to make it interesting in this conference. Now, the reason why I chose the Heat and the Sixers is two of their star quality players are trying to bounce back from a knee surgery. Dwayne Wade being the shooting guard of the Miami Heat, and also Andrew Bynum, who's continually had knee situations since he's been in this league. Now, it depends on how big of an impact these guys have being off of the floor to help their team move forward. To start the season off, I'll come to you first, Royce. What team do you think will be boggled down by this the impact of these guys with knee situations? Will it be the Sixers with their big guy in the paint and Bynum, or will it be the shooter in Miami and Dwayne Wade?
Good question, Thomas. I'll try to answer it like this. Philadelphia, going forward, if they have to play significant amount of time without Andrew Bynum, it's not going to slow them down in terms of regular season performance because, as you know, they've been playing undersized basketball for at least the last three seasons easy with Andre Iguodala and Elton Brand and Lou Williams, who are no longer with the team this upcoming season. They have additional firepower. They've gotten bigger on the wings, adding, you know, Jason Richardson, Nick Young, Darrell Wright. They've added more proficient three-point shooters, guys who are much taller and longer on that wing in terms of defense. They're still going to get out and run. I like Thaddeus Young. He put on about 10 to 15 pounds of muscle, looked really good the other night in preseason action, still able to elevate and get off the floor. And Spencer Hall's was looking fleet of foot, really getting up and down last night. He punished the Boston Celtics in the preseason game. I think he posted like 17 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, just solid production. He was very aggressive on both ends of the floor, attacking the glass offensively and defensively, and we all know he's a solid passing big man. So I don't think that the Philadelphia 76ers will really struggle in the regular season without Bynum, given the fact they want to more than likely see how he pans out. I know they want him to be the franchise center. It's been a long time since it's been a title in Philadelphia. Last championship team, 1983. You're talking Dr. J and Moses Malone. That's a long, long time ago. However, the knee injury to Bynum has to be taken care of. You got to go slow with this guy. Do what you can. Compete for the Atlantic Division crown and see where things shake out. But you want Bynum health long term. He's only 25 years of age. He's got a lot of years potentially of basketball remaining. On the flip side, we bring it down to Miami. You're talking Dwayne Wade, now on the downside of his career. I think he's about 32 years of age, 2 championships to his credit. If Dwayne is not there, you're talking about more playing time for an even older shooting guard in Ray Allen, who's pushing close to 40, more workload on LeBron, who's just been going nonstop since the lockout season began with the 66 games, Olympic run, preseason, regular season, got to find some rest. Who can carry this team? They're going to have to take turns. I expect to see some Dwayne Wade out there, LeBron getting rest, some LeBron and Bosh with Wade getting rest, Wade, LeBron, Bosh getting rest. You can expect Miami to take a page out of a Western Conference team, the San Antonio Spurs. You know, we're going to do what we can to get the number one seed. However, we're going to rest our guys because it's all about winning the crown. So if I have to pick, it's the Miami Heat and Dwayne Wade.
And Mark, how about you? Do you think it's the big guy in Bynum? And also I'm going to ask you another question outside of that too, or is it Wade in Miami? And this is an interesting question. I thought personally, I didn't really want to address this to Sports Street, but I feel like I can do this. Bynum's 24 right now. And I don't mean to, you know, have a crystal ball, if you will, because I can't really detect the future. Do you think Bynum could play 8 to 10 years more with all of the knee situations that he has now?
I mean, both of these situations are not ideal for either franchise. Do I think Philly is better equipped without Andrew Bynum than Miami would be without Dwayne Wade? I do think Philly will be able to handle it better because they are deep, young team. Doug Collins seems to be able to make it work even without it. And they never had Andrew Bynum. So, therefore, you can't totally miss something that you haven't had. But Dwayne Wade, if it's a lingering, ongoing thing, it's not good because the miles are there. And, yes, Andrew Bynum, I guess we could say he's an older 24-year-old, right? I mean, considering how much time he's already been around. But Dwayne Wade, at the same light, is old in respect for his age group. I mean, he's had the miles on it. He's been to, three NBA finals, the Olympic runs. I mean, when you play year-round, it starts to wear down on you. And the older you get, the longer the recovery stage is. And, I think we saw Miami was so great last year, even at times without Dwayne Wade. But they were really great when LeBron was playing in the post. And if you take that element out because Dwayne Wade is missing 20 games at a time and maybe they're not as comfortable with LeBron playing in the post with Dwayne Wade out, I mean, we'll have to see how it is with Allen and everybody this year. But it could change just how the game is played. You could see LeBron more on the perimeter, and that would ultimately affect the Heat. Either one, you don't want either one of these guys to be out for long term. I think it ultimately would hurt the Miami Heat more. I think they need Dwayne Wade healthy. Let's be honest. He is part of the reason why they won an NBA championship. He's part of the Big Three. Can LeBron, just being LeBron himself, still push this team to be an outstanding team if Dwayne Wade were to miss? And I'm just, like we said, we don't have any crystal ball. If Dwayne Wade missed 40 games, could LeBron hold it down? Absolutely. But how important is it that he is healthy for the NBA playoffs and ready to try to win a championship? I mean, if you take Dwayne Wade out of the equation for the NBA Finals last year, even the fact that he didn't just completely go off, but just the fact that he's on the court, his court presence, everything that he brings, confidence and other, is there any chance that anybody's taking the Heat to knock off OKC in the Finals? Absolutely not. So I think, based upon the level of expectation, based upon who they are, Dwayne Wade is a more valuable knee, so to speak, to his respective franchise.
And you're right, and that's who I was going to bank on, because you need a two-guard like Dwayne Wade, who he's actually 30. He'll be 31 in February of this upcoming year. And you're right. I think Mark hit on it that they haven't had Bynum yet, so they don't really know how he's going to work into the set. And they do have a guy like LaVoy Allen who can actually step out and hit shots. You also got Spencer Hawes, but the one thing about Spencer that I look at is his timidness. There's times in a game where he's just on edge, like he doesn't really want to attack or go to the goal and score. I mean, he's a rebounder. He can pass, and I guess that kind of helps his timidness, is he can get the ball to people that can score. So there's still a little system there that Doug Collins is working with the Sixers. But the one thing about the Heat, everybody says that the Heat is LeBron's team, which Dwayne Wade even admitted that he's giving the team up to LeBron so LeBron can make that step to, greatness, if you will. But this is still Dwayne's team. Like Dwayne got these guys down here to come play with him to bring that championship aura there, and a piece is missing. And just like Roy said on, with Ray Allen being, 36, 37 years old, I mean, you don't want him out there putting his mileage out there and trying to deal with a lot of the guards that he'll have to be defending in the Eastern Conference as well. So if I had to pick one, I would go with Dwayne Wade. I think Dwayne Wade will be a miss off to the start of the season. I don't know how long or how bad this thing will linger with him, but it's always something with Dwayne Wade that you got to be interested in if this guy can really fully give you a go year in and year out. Now, speaking of, what were you going to say?
No, I was just agreeing with you, Thomas, and I was just taking a quick look at the roster, and, this Miami Heat team is just a very old team. There's not a lot of youth on this roster or talented young players that could actually come in and supplement with the superstars get done when you're talking Wade, James, and Bosh. I mean, the Heat are simply a team of the three superstars, and these older guys that some of them are often injured and not the most talented NBA players, you know, they have roles to fill. This is a large load that the big three have to carry down in Miami. Now, have we just stated, having won the championship, is there going to possibly be some hangover? It could be. And I'm just now starting to realize the hangover may actually come in not securing the number one seed in the East, because I'm going to be concerned, I think, going forward with the injuries. And if Mario Chalmers, who is out right now, if he can't be available, I mean, you're talking about Mario was really the one young, viable talent on that roster. I'm talking about a guy that whenever they didn't call him out and try to make him look bad, you know, on national TV for making a mistake, when they let him play his game, Mario gets buckets, he gets guys involved. I think he's a very solid player and would be a starting point guard that really is featured on another team. However, he's in Miami. LeBron James is always going to be the point guard, in regards to whatever position they start him at down there. This team's age is in the health, how they are breaking down, in my opinion, is going to always determine what comes out with the Miami Heat, Timeless.
Definitely. Now here's the thing. They have age down there right now with the Heat, since you're addressing that. And another team that I threw out there with the Knicks having age, you know, they have experience also, and they have a hunger because a lot of those guys don't have brings there. You got, like, the Amari Stoudemire there. You got the Carmelo Anthony's there. Jason Kidd has a ring. They even brought in a Rasheed Wallace. How intriguing will that pan out if these two were to actually continually go head-to-head and meet up in the playoffs and see how this pans out, especially with their experience? I'll come back to you, Royce.
I like the age in New York, simply because if you dialed it back 10 years ago, you're talking talented players, starters, you know, franchise players, arguably, Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace. I mean, these guys are pros. They know how to get it done. High IQ. They know the game. Hands down, they had wars. My opinion, one of the most underrated, underappreciated power forwards probably to play the game and have a championship, but is always going to be remembered for technical fouls and things of that, Rasheed Wallace gets a bum rap. But if you check the stats, head-to-head matchups, when in his prime against Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, Karl Malone, whoever those guys that were playing, Rasheed Wallace did work, and he won those head-to-head matchups oftentimes statistically. Very, very solid pro. I'm not as concerned about their age as a lot of reporters and writers are when it comes to the Knicks. Jason Kidd just was played about 35 to 36 minutes a game last season. He's not going to have to play 30-plus minutes this season with Raymond Felton starting at the point guard position in New York. So the fact that their older players have been doing it while being close to 40 for 2 to 3 seasons now, they know their bodies, and they know what to do. They know how to eat right. They know how to rest. They know when to get to the gym and get treatment. I have every confidence that the New York Knicks aged veterans will perform well like a fine wine, Timeless.
And Mark, same question for you. Do you think the Knicks and their experience with the players that they have on their roster, they also picked up the guard, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him, the guard out of Argentina, that he's actually 35 and he played alongside of a man of Ginobili, who actually knows the ins and outs of the NBA and actually knocked off a LeBron James when he was with Cleveland, even though that's when he was younger. Do you think the Knicks have, you know, stuff within their roster that can deal with the Heat consistently throughout this season and possibly in a playoff matchup if it did work out that way?
They better hope they do. you go from Lynn's sanity to pretty much saying that this is Melo's team. The bullseye is there for Melo. We said last year, once LeBron won it, who would be the next NBA guy with a bullseye to win a championship, you know, to cement his legacy. And it's Carmelo. And I think the aged veterans that they bring in here, I think, was a great move. Jason Kidd, Rasheed Wallace, I mean, you have a pro in Kidd that's going to be able to teach Felton. I think Felton's going to be a phenomenal point guard for the Knicks. I think he fits great. The Knicks wanted him, and just in order to get Carmelo, they had to move him. Same thing with Wallace. I think he will be great for Stoudemire. As he pointed out, I mean, Wallace did put in work for years and gets overlooked, and he will be able to pass that on to Stoudemire, give him his tips, pass that on to Tyson Chandler, stuff for those guys to improve on. So I think that the Knicks last year was a disappointment, and whether it was that they didn't gel, that the distrust of whose team it was, D'Antoni coming and going, Jeremy Lin merging and fading, getting injured. The Knicks were up and down. It was a roller coaster last year. They would win 10, they would lose 8. You know, I mean, that is not acceptable to be a good team. And that hurt them when it came time for the playoffs because they had fallen to the 7th seed. Now they had to face a very tough team in Miami and you know, everything. This year, I expect the Knicks to be a top 4 seed. I expect the Knicks to be a lot better. I do expect Carmelo to boost his game, but at the same time, play into the system. A guy like Felton, I think, will get you the ball. You'll be able to still get your shots, you'll get your touches, and you can still play within the system and let people feed off you. It really does come down to Carmelo and Stoudemire. I mean, Stat and Melo, right, the whole time, they never really gelled to the potential that we saw, but Felton's going to get easy buckets with Stoudemire. I think Chandler, you know what you're getting out of him. So really, the aged players that they bring in are more for leadership. They're going to bring stuff off the court that none of us are going to see. You know, they're going to little tips, little stuff, and it does make a difference. And when you have good locker chemistry, it carries on, and you want to be around your team. You want to travel. You want to go on road trips. You like to go and beat the other team in their building. And last year, to me, it just didn't seem like the Knicks had that chemistry. It seemed like a whole group of individuals that were under a major spotlight because they play in the New York market. And it's hard. Let's not deny it. I mean, you look at every single sport franchise in New York City, and you're constantly under the microscope. It's almost unreal that the New York Giants don't have the biggest bullseye on them because they're a championship team, but they somehow have learned to fade under the radar. Besides that, I mean, the Jets, the Yankees, the Knicks, it's the bullseye all the time. So the Knicks have to succeed. I think they made some right decisions, but to me, the biggest improvement is going to be Raymond Felton. I think he's going to be a driving force for the Knicks. He played great in the Garden, and just the way he plays, the way he is so unselfish, moves the ball, gets up and down the court fast, I think it's going to be a world of thing. And then when he's not in there, guess who's going to be in there? It's going to be Jason Kidd pulling minutes with the backup. So it's a good blend, it's a good combination, and I do expect good things for the Knicks this year.
And looking at their roster and seeing how much experience and age they do have, let's look at this. They have Marcus Camby, who they brought in, right? They have Kurt Thomas that they brought in, probably one of the oldest players in the league right now. Who can play? I'm not going to say that. I'm totally sold on what he can do. They got Rasheed Wallace. They got my boy Henry Sims that they got from Georgetown, who's a good passer, can also score as well. And I'm wondering how Shumpert may end up getting back from his knee injury because he's in the same situation that Derrick Rose is in. But the one guy that I'm going to hit on, Marcus sold on Felton being a big-time player for this team, I'm sold off of a player off of the bench named Steve Novak. This guy can drill shots with the best of them. This guy was hitting 50% from the three-point land. So this is going to be interesting to see how they can work him with this core to you know, go shot for shot with the teams of Miami's or the Brooklyn Nets with Joe Johnson or if Ray Allen is knocking down shots. I feel like they have the ammunition within this Knicks roster to make things interesting and to take this ball out of Carmelo's hands. Now, that's the one thing that they need to work on, is to see if Carmelo is willing to facilitate, or not to really say facilitate, to help others be available to help this team get further. Because he, you know, it's a situation where a lot of people like to call Carmelo the black hole, or he's a selfish player. He's going to always have that aura. You know, it's just going to be around him until he gets other people involved. And that's something that he's going to have to learn, especially with a loaded roster that they have. They have a decent roster until they have to start cutting this one up until, you know, the 15 players that they're going to advance with into the regular season. But it's going to be pretty interesting. Now,
yeah.
I do want you guys to pick these next two topics wisely. First, I'm going to let you know how it's going to go. The first topic I have is sleepers or surprises, right? And then what team? And the second one is what teams to worry about in the Eastern Conference. Now, when I say sleepers or surprises, I want to hear, you know, the bottom feeders, if you will, in the Eastern Conference that people are sleeping on it. You don't think that they're going to make impact in this season? I don't really want to have a speculation of them making playoffs, but doing decent work this season. And then teams to worry about in the Eastern Conference, like, you know, outside of the teams that we mentioned that could compete with the Heat, but other teams within the Eastern Conference. I'll come to you first, Mark. We'll start with the sleepers, surprises first, and then we'll go to the second question. But choose your teams wisely if you don't have this one figured out right.
All right. Well, I think for my sleeper, there is a lot of good teams that are in the top echelon, right? But when we're talking about the bottom of the barrel, there's a few teams that stick out. And obviously, you have to pretty much stay away from Brooklyn just because of the simple fact that this is not the New Jersey Nets of last year. This is, you know, clean slate, everything else. So I'm not even going to bother touching the Nets because they're not sleepers, right? But they're going from the bottom to the top. But I do like the Cleveland Cavaliers to kind of bounce around this year. Only won 21 games last year. But I think Kyrie Irving could continue to develop. This team could get it better. And in a division that's, I mean, you know, Indiana's probably going to be the favorite of the division. We don't have any real clear-cut runaway without the Bulls having Rose. I'm not totally sold on the Bucks. So I think Cleveland can make some noise. The other team that I do like is the Washington Wizards. I'm going to try not to name too many names. That way I don't take any one of them. But if I'm going to go for one, I'm going to say Cleveland overall. It seems like they're going to start to develop. How good Tristan Thompson will turn into, we're going to find out. You know, they do have a couple of veterans still there from the old LeBron James day and Daniel Booby Gibson and Anderson Varejao. But this is pretty much the page has been turned over. This is now Kyrie Irving's team. And the way that he was developing and up until he got hurt, yeah, it seemed like he could have locked up an Olympic spot, roster spot. So I look for him to continue to progress. And I think the Cleveland Cavaliers – under the radar could be a sleeper. And then if I was saying team two, I would say once again the Wizards would be my team two, John Wall and company. I think I'm not saying they could be a six or a five seed, but these teams could be competing for that eight seed until the end of the regular season.
Okay, Royce, and same question to you. Who do you have as a sleeper or surprise? And now choose these teams wisely because I want to also push teams out for teams to worry about within the week in the Eastern Conference. Excuse me. Wow, my tongue tied today.
Well, I got to thank Mark for the intro with the Cleveland Cavaliers as a sleeper team because that's who I had as my sleeper team. And I know you guys not really address it as far as playoffs, but that's how I see them in terms of the regular season being a sleeper. Last season, before Kyrie Irving went down, they were actually competing for a playoff spot in the shortened lockout season. So when you consider head coach Byron Scott has postseason experience, I think he's an excellent coach. He believes he has arguably, by season's end, the best point guard in the league. Those were his words. You can hear him on NBA.com. Just go to ClevelandCavaliers.com. The Cavaliers are a young, up-and-coming team that I believe has solid depth. It's young in terms of NBA experience, but they have talent. Deion Waiters, I think, is a talented player. Is he a number four pick overall in the draft in terms of talent? Remains to be seen. But I like Tristan Thompson. I believe he's improved his game. Alonzo G, a small forward who does dirty work. He defends, gets steals, knocks down threes, hustles, gets out on a break, and finishes with aggression at the rim. And I think Tyler Zeller is NBA ready. Will he be a star? No. But will he be a serviceable starting center in the NBA? Yes. Is there a lot of upside there? I don't think so. But he's fundamentally sound. He's solid. He runs the floor. He's capable of knocking down free throws, and it's always important to get the free stuff. That's what I call a free throw shot. It's free. Get it. I like what the Cavaliers bring to the table. And Kyrie, to me, for the Cleveland Cavaliers, is not the second coming of a LeBron James in terms of talent. However, he is exactly what the Cavaliers and the city of Cleveland need, the type of player who's really capable of putting a team on his back and carrying them as far as he can go until more help arrives in terms of competing for a championship. So if Kyrie remains healthy, I like the Cavaliers. I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't mean to echo exactly what he, you know, see me pick. However, I think great minds think alike. It's the Cavaliers when it comes to sleepers.
Okay. And I guess we're all three of us are going to agree with the Cavaliers because I do like what they present in their roster. I'm a big Tristan Thompson fan. And seeing what Kyrie was doing, calling Kobe out and actually showing that in that practice game and cutting up Kobe, Harden, Westbrook, and Durant all in one play, they look crazy. I know Byron is reaching to try and put this guy up on a pedestal. This is his second year in the league, so I do want you to pump your brakes a little bit, Mr. Scott. But I am watching what he is. But I do want to disagree with Mark. There is a team that is being slept on, and Mark just slept on them, and I'm going to give them some credit and them being a sleeper this season. And I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks. Here's why. Looking at their roster, if they can keep this core together, they just got the kid out of Kentucky, Deron Lamb. I like Lamb. Brandon Jennings, who could actually score the ball at the point guard position. They got Dallin Bear and Pris Dilla to be the centers to hold down the five. You also got Dunleavy. And don't forget my guy, one of the point guards that I love and respect, how he comes out there and plays. Monte Ellis is still there to get the job done. I still question Drew Gooden. Drew Gooden is shaky to me. You know, his glimpses of times he can come out there and be a double-double kind of guy. And then there's times where he comes out there and you just get a zero just like his jersey. And it's like, what is he out there doing? So I want to see if Drew Gooden still has it in his bag to come out there and perform. They also have the guy, Oyasova, who actually is, you know, a good, you know, adrenaline push, if you will. It's in given times in the game. They also have the guy, Alonzo Tucker, out of Wisconsin. I want to see if he comes out and gets playing time because he can actually come out and play ball. He can shoot the ball as well. I do like what the Bucks present. Now, they do have to turn this around and compete, especially with a good coach, Scott Skiles, as well. In the Eastern Conference, they have to deal with the likes of the Heat, the Knicks, you know, the Pacers, and the Sixers, and so on and so forth. But I think the Bucks can contend and make a push for the 8-7 seed. I'm not going to, you know, start speculating for a playoff window as much as possible, but it will be interesting with the core that they do have. And they also got the rookie out of North Carolina, John Henson, the stick figure, I like to call him. But he has length and he has the ability to get to the goal. I just want to see him have that turnaround in the NBA. And that's the question mark right now, if he can be around these guys that have the experience in the NBA to help him move forward. That is one of my sleepers, being the Milwaukee Bucks. I have to see Mark slept on him, so I got you. Now, looking at teams to worry about in the Eastern Conference, now, of course, we're going to look at the 8 seed, well, one of them has to be removed in the Orlando Magic, unless somebody here in the kitchen thinks right now that the Orlando Magic is a team to worry about in the Eastern Conference. But I will address this and throw this one out. And I wasn't paying attention to my kitchen because Boy Sports City is filled up. I'm sorry. First and foremost, we got calling in from the 571 area code. I know he's under the weather, but we got some chicken noodle soup with a soda on the side. Aaron Sirius Simmons, how are you feeling this evening? Welcome to the cafe.
You know, I mean, I'm under the weather, man, but I definitely wanted to pop in while sitting there and love the conversation, then we'll go.
Okay, and we have a new caller. I don't know this number, but calling in from the 661 area code. Welcome to the Crossover Cafe. What's your name and what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, man, you finally let Chiefs, you finally let Brainiac in the kitchen. I've been
I got Brainiac in the building. I'm sorry. I was running. Cause look, I got my boys. I got Royce and my brother Mark. So these guys got me working, man. I wanted to get them dishes, but I feel like cooking today. I don't know if I can get these boys at the stove today. So they just going to eat. I mean, I'm the fattest dude here, but they going to eat today. Like Mo's like to tell me when I do something wrong, he say, Ty, you're going to get this work. So,
and I've been listening to the discussion. Everybody is talking about, I guess you're talking about the Eastern Conference sleepers or whatever. And you know I'm from the Motor City. I got my Tigers crushing the Yankees in Comerica Park as we speak. We got Verlander throwing heat off the mound, and nobody wants to show me love to my Pistons. Have you seen Andre Drummond just acting like a total beast at the 5 spot? Come on.
Well, Verlander just gave up a home run, if you know that right now.
Oh, man, I'm jinxing them already. Looking a little bit like Papa Grande, but that's a totally another story or whatever. But like I said, I'm just ready to jump in and, you know, get my plate and sit down and join a discussion about the Eastern Conference, but I'll wait my turn and let you moderate.
Well, no, since you're already speaking, give me a sleeper out of the Eastern Conference. If you want to go with the Pistons to be a sleeper, we can go with that one. If you have another team that addresses a sleeper, please do so.
Well, you know what? Now, I did, you know, I want to agree with what you said because, you know, I had a couple of the callers mention the Cleveland Cavaliers, and, I mean, Kyrie Irving is, you know, I think they're ready to take that next step. But I was going to mention before you did, the Milwaukee Bucks look real pretty good. I took a look at a couple of the preseason matchups. And I don't know who this international player they got, but he sort of looks like he was hitting shots like Gallinari and Bargnani and Nowitzki. I don't know who it was, and we played them, and I think we beat them. I think we played the Bucks. I think the Pistons did, but they were playing somebody, and they were leaving this guy out at the 3-point range, and he was just hitting rainbows like he was shooting free throws. But I like the Milwaukee Bucks. Backcourt. I like Monte Ellis and Jennings or whatever. I think they, you know, play well off of each other. And, you know, they've added a couple of pieces. I think that their front court is sort of like the weak link. But, you know, pretty much I think they've, you know, Monte's, I think they brought him in because they wanted to keep that, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks like to play fast. So they want to play like that Don Nelson, that Golden State Warrior type of game, whatever, like run and gun. And so, you know, I think it fits this game well. So, you know, I don't think they're going to unseed Miami, whatever, but, you know, keep an eye out for the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm going to agree with you there. And I think that the Detroit Pistons are ready to take that next step. You know, I have to throw him in there, even though I'm a homer. But the thing is that, remember, Dumars had a lot of rough years or whatever, but he knows about assembling a playoff caliber team, and he's in a rebuilding mode, so he's starting with a young core. So just watch out for – we may sniff that 8 seed, so, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
Okay, in serious, I know you've been hearing a great deal of what we've been throwing around the kitchen.
Yeah.
Give me your sleeper in the Eastern Conference. Now, answer this wisely because I got another topic right behind this.
Yeah, so, you know what I'm saying? Honestly, I heard the Washington Wizards name get thrown out there a lot, and I have to agree with that. you know, kind of living out here in the Metro, you see a lot of the Wizards. You know, I really like what they're putting together over there. You know, I think John Wall is about ready to take that next step to becoming a true elite, you know, player in this league. A couple of the moves that they made this offseason, you know, I like that to Red to be in the Nate. I think he's really gonna stabilize that front five or that front, you know, that front court there. I really think they're gonna be pretty decent there. So I'm gonna go with the Wizards just for sake of argument.
The Wizards, and that's interesting because, you know, they unload a guy in Rashard Lewis, and then they pick up a guy in Trevor Ariza. And I don't know if Ariza has it in the tank to carry the team, you know, with the John Wall. I mean, I really don't want to look outside of John Wall because I love how John Wall attacks the goal. He'll go down there and dunk on your big man if he has to. Jordan Crawford also has the ability to hit shots, too. They also got Nene from the Denver Nuggets, too. I actually drew a blank on that. They have a decent roster right now, but I don't know if these guys have to turn around in the Eastern Conference. I think there'll still be another bottom feeder, but I'm sleeping right now. So this is what I'm talking about, sleepers. So we'll see if the Wizards have anything. I think Mark hit on it, and you're hitting on the Wizards, too. So this is going to be interesting. Now, to turn this one around and come right back to you, Sirius, teams in the Eastern Conference to worry about, not just sleepers, but guys that are going to be, you know, one of those teams in the 1-8 bracket in the window. I don't want you to start speculating playoffs. I really don't even want to go into predictions on how the playoffs are going to be unless y'all really want to. I just want to keep dishing. But give me teams that, you know, people need to worry about in the Eastern Conference.
Well, shucks. I mean, obviously your top seeds obviously are going to be making some noise. Your Miami's, your Boston. You know, I think Brooklyn's really going to surprise a lot of people this year and really do some work out there. The one team that really comes to mind and I think is going to do some serious work, and is, I don't say surprise a lot of people, and again, see you hitting on it pretty clear, and I think the man said it too, the Milwaukee Bucks, man. I mean, let's keep in mind, I mean, if Andrew Bogut is playing down the stretch of last season, this is a 16. This is a 16 team, in my honest opinion. And I think with what they've done this fall season, I think they drafted exceptionally well. I think Jennings is really starting to come into his own. Actually, Jennings is not there anymore. I think they picked up Monte Ellis, excuse me.
So back to
what I'm saying. Jennings coming into his own there. I really think that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to be a team that people don't want to play. I mean, obviously, I could have said Miami. I could have said Boston. I think Boston's going to be, you know, just a tough out, you know, already. I think they, you know, they picked up Fab Melo. I think that's going to be huge for them. But I obviously a team that's kind of off the beaten path. And, again, you hit on it earlier. I think Milwaukee's going to be that team that Cassidy really not want to play with.
Okay, before I throw this one around the kitchen, because that was something I was talking to Mose about, and Mose told me to chill. It's still early. It's preseason. Don't jump the gun. I don't really see too many shooters in Boston right now. I mean, they got Jason Terry. Who else? I mean, what, Courtney Lee is going to be the starting two guard? Like, really? And it's early. I give Mark that. It's preseason. But just seeing how they're trying to hoist up shots, and they're not falling the way they want them to. I think they're going to have a real tough job trying to score from the perimeter. Go ahead, Siri.
Well, the thing is, I mean, I think the changing of the guard is there. I think that, you know, with, you know, Ray Allen moving on, I think they're really going to be a more inside-dominant team. You know, I mean, obviously, Jason Terry, you know, is a beast, and he's in your man of the year and all this other type of great stuff, and we've all been there and done that. But, you know, they still got, you know, Paul Pierce, who's a beast. You know, Rajon Rondo's shot has gotten exceptionally better, you know, over the course of the season. Let's keep in mind, this is a cat that went for 40-plus, you know, in the Eastern Conference Finals against a great Miami defensive team. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, this dude can put the ball in the buckets, you know, and he's always making a living around the rim. So, Rajon Rondo's point production probably will explode. You know, Kevin Garnett seems to found the fountain of youth. I think they're going to, you know, really rely on him a lot.
So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, you know, from the perimeter and this, that, and the third, but this is still predominantly a bang-em inside-out type of team, and I think that with the acquisition of Fab Melo, you know, and you still got the big ticket there, I think this team will be pretty decent come down the stretch. You know, also, Danny Green is there. You know, Danny Green was hurt last year. You know, you should know Danny Green. You know, he used to put some Oklahoma City Thunder people. Yeah, he's over there.
Yeah, but we took care of him. We took care of him. I'm leaving the Western Conference alone. I am leaving them alone. That is next week's topic. I don't even – me and Royce were talking about this outside the kitchen. I don't even want to get involved with the Western Conference. Okay. Let me keep it moving because I'm emotionally attached to that right now. I might break down in this kitchen. But don't laugh. It's not funny. Mark, give me some teams that you think in the Eastern Conference are a consistent worry throughout the season outside of your Miami. Of course, Miami is one of those teams, but give me some teams.
Well, like I said before, you got to think the Knicks are going to have a good regular season this year. I do think Philly, we could see them contending with the upper echelon, especially if this team clicks with Andrew Bynum. I think, you know, of course, like we said, Brooklyn, they're going to be good. How good? I don't know. I mean, at one point, I thought to myself that this team could contend with the Miami Heat to be the number one seed. I don't know if I was drinking that night or what I was doing, but I did believe that at one point. I've taken maybe a step back saying, you know, you can let them have their expectations. I do see certain playoff teams from last year taking a step back. Orlando, I don't think is going to be as good. Atlanta's not going to be as good. Chicago's not going to be as good. So there's definitely going to open up some possibilities of teams jumping into the mix. That's where you could see your Cleveland Cavaliers or Milwaukee Bucks getting into the mix. But if there's one team that I say to watch out for, honestly, it's going to be the Indiana Pacers, man. For whatever reason, I think this team, they're a tough team. Some people like to call them a dirty team. I think they just play hard. They play hard through the whistle. They play team defense. They're unselfish. It's next man up. And Philly reminds me of the same type of team. It's just Philly. It seems like it's just a little bit younger. I feel like Indiana has been through a few more battles. And I think really because of Chicago, I do think the Bulls are still going to be in the mix this year. There's no way that just because Rose being out that they're gonna fall all the way to a lottery ball team. But, you know, they're going to be fighting for an 8 seed. So that means somebody's got to take over that division. And if I was to do an honest opinion, I would probably say the Pacers, which means we could see them competing for a 2 or 3 seed. I mean, this depends how the rest of the conference shuffles out. But a lot of teams to like this year. I think the Eastern Conference after, like I said to start the show, after the Kings, the Miami Heat, it's going to be a battle for 2 through 5, and I think seeding will be very important when it comes to playoff time for the Eastern Conference.
Okay, Royce, how about you? Are you going to go with the Pacers again? Because that was one of the teams you started it up with. Give me some teams out of the Eastern Conference that you think are going to be a consistent worry throughout this season.
Look, in the East, I actually have a don't sleep division, you know, and that's the Central. That includes the Pacers, the Bulls, the Bucks, the Cavaliers, and the Pistons. And what I mean by a don't sleep division is, you know, that the Atlantic Conference is the toughest division. You know, the Southeast is the weakest. But if you roll into any Central Division team's arena and think you're going to have an easy night, you're sadly mistaken, and you're probably going to get your clock clean well. The Central has solid coaching from top to bottom, solid rosters, and, you know, if I got to pick a team, I'm not going to be a homer and go with the Pacers. I'm going to go with my original thought, and that is the Milwaukee Bucks, because I like the Milwaukee Bucks roster. I like the fact that they added a scoring threat in Monte Ellis. Brandon Jennings is just, you know, growing by leaps and bounds every season. don't forget, I think it was about maybe his rookie year or maybe the second season, they were in the playoffs. They did go toe-to-toe with the Atlanta Hawks. Adding a rookie like John Henson, who has length, defensive presence, getting Epe Udo in the trade along with Monte Ellis, defensive presence, signing Samuel Dalembert, who has experience defending all the top centers in the league, defensive presence, Drew Gooden, while he may be often injured, this guy simply gets buckets down on the block. Deron Lamb, the rookie out of Kentucky, you mentioned him. I like this kid. He lights it up. He scores the ball well from the perimeter. And the guy that Cheap Seats couldn't figure out his name, Ersan Ilyasova, this kid is aggressive on the glass. He can get a double-double, knock down the three ball. Scott Skiles has this team flying under the radar to those who are just the casual NBA fan. But as you can hear in the kitchen, we are well aware that the Milwaukee Bucks is a team that will be in the hunt. And I actually see them as a 7 seed in terms of competing. Now, who will want to face them? I don't know, but I wouldn't want to face the Milwaukee Bucks. A healthy team, training camp under their belt. I mean, Monte Ellis isn't missing time in training camp. Brandon Jennings isn't missing time. Their bigs are not missing time. You're talking about developing chemistry and cohesion. I would be definitely afraid to play the Milwaukee Bucks this upcoming season should they get on the road.
Man,
they will defend and they can score.
What the heck is going on, man? Look, I didn't mean
to. Right
now. Now, I know we talking basketball, but you know I got my eye on this damn Tiger game, man. And they just been get two singles in the night, and we trying to get one out. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt. I apologize, man. But you know,
my little Bonyaz is up right now too.
Hang on. One, it's the crossover cafe. We are talking basketball. Okay. Two, Brainiac, you came in here, started talking that Tiger's mess, and I am completely out of my mind on another ratio. I'll save that for a later date. But Brainiac, back to this basketball. See, now I'm saying baseball.
There you go.
What is going on? No. Hardwood. Okay. Brainiac, your team's in the Eastern Conference that you got as a worry consistently throughout this season.
You said that's going to be a worry, you say?
A team that you have to worry about, you know, on a night-by-night basis, whether you want to say Sixers, if you want to say the Bucks as a sleeper. That's why I'm saying to choose those teams wisely. You could throw these out if you like.
Yeah, I mean, the team that you have to worry about, I mean, in the Eastern Conference, you have to worry about the Heat with Ray Allen. But I mean,
outside of the Heat, come on, they won the team. Are you serious?
Outside of,
well, you're not
outside
serious.
Of,
are you for real?
Okay, you have mentioned the Bucks, and like I said, I'm not going to, you know, harp on the Pistons, but I can't think of anybody because, you know, with Chicago, you know, I don't know when Derrick Rose will be back, but I think that he's going to have to work himself slowly back. Now, we all know what he's capable of, but, you know, he is coming off an injury, so I don't think you'll have to worry about Chicago. Now, with the Nets, you know, they assembled a few pieces. They don't have any great players, but they have, you know, D. Will, you know, I mean, he's a bona fide, you know, point guard, and he can go for 30 at any night. And,
so D. Will's not a great – D. Will's not a great player?
I mean, he is. He's not. I mean, he's the best player on their team. Now, yeah, if you want to, I mean, if you say great, I don't know. I mean, that's really subjective. But the thing is that, you know, he's never been asked to, you know, I'll put it like this. He's never been in a situation yet to where we can see how he handles himself. You know, when they say big-time players make big-time plays and big-time games and big-time situations, he hasn't been in that situation yet. So, yeah, he can come out and, you know, by him being the best player on the team, yeah, he can come out and, you know, get maybe close to a triple-double, whatever it is, score like 30 points. But in crunch time, when the game is on the line, you know, the jury is still out on him. Okay, so, you know, plus, you know, there's never been any pressure on him. There's not going to be any pressure, you know, on the Nets because, you know, they're the new city or whatever, it's still the same team. But, you know, they've added, you know, the guy from Atlanta, Joe Johnson or whatever, and, you know, they got D-Will, they got, you know, Lopez. The front court is kind of, you know, suspect. I mean, they're somewhat solid. I think that they just signed him because they couldn't get entice Dwight Howard to come there. So they, you know, just decided to re-sign him. So I don't think you really have to, you know, worry about the Brooklyn Nets being a serious contender. You know, as far as the Knicks, they just assembled, you know, they just grabbed every, you know, they got rid of Lynn or whatever, and they grabbed Jason Kidd, and they grabbed, you know, a couple other players. But the thing is that they don't play defense. They're old, and the players that are somewhat young, they don't rebound, they don't play defense. And so defense wins championships. You know, even when Miami can get on the run, sometimes, some games, when you look at Miami, they can play lock-you-up, lock-down defense, okay? So I don't know. I don't see any, like, you know, teams that you have to worry about in the Eastern Conference. I like the Cavs because they're young, and I like the Bucks, and I like the Pistons. So, you know, now, as far as the 76ers, they were last year, they were a playoff team. They got Andrew Bynum, but the thing is that Andrew Bynum has never been in a situation where he's kind of sort of the man. They got rid of Elton Brand, okay, and now Bynum is, you know, I guess he's the big acquisition. He's going to be under the microscope, and, you know, Bynum is young, and he's still not ready, so it's not like he's going to catapult them into an echelon of being, you know, being talked about or being considered a great team or take them into to that next level. So, like I said, you don't have to worry about anybody too much in the Eastern Conference other than the few teams that I mentioned.
Okay, now, you don't think the Nets are – okay, let me ask you another question, Brainiac. You don't think that they're going to be a team to be concerned with being the Nets. Do you think – can we agree that they're a top-four team in the Eastern Conference?
A top-four team? A top 14? No, I'm not. I'm selling. No, they're not. Nope.
Okay, well, give me 14 better than the Nets right now in the Eastern Conference.
The Knicks, the Bucks, the Heat, and Boston.
So you're giving the Bucks the edge on the Nets?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, now, see, I actually reached and said that they're an 8th or 7th seed, and don't really want to speculate toward the playoff picture, but it looks like I'm going to have to. I think they're a top 4 team in the Eastern Conference. I got the Heat, I got the Pacers, I got the Nets, and I live in this area, but I don't want to say this. The Knicks, I got to put the Knicks up there, but the Bucks, I don't think they're ready just yet. They still have to build that core. Like I think that they're going to be a team that you have to worry about, but not. I don't think they have the edge on the Nets right now. Yeah. There's people that agree with Brainiac that think that the Bucks have the edge on the Nets already, especially with the addition of Andre Blatch that they have, a guy like Marshawn Brooks coming off the bench. I mean, I really like what they have. They have people that can come off this bench and play, and also they got the ex-Kardashian, if you will, and Chris Humphries, that, you know, is one of those utility guys that goes in the paint and does work too. So it's the truth. I mean, they can laugh at it all they want. This guy could get you a double-double. He can do those things. I like the core of the Nets right now. Nobody? Anybody? That cricket soup? I think I served some cricket soup. So now I want to look at, like, individual. Let me slow down on seating, y'all. I know Royce has some topics. I got a little bit of time left here, unless I need to, you know, ask the people upstairs to give us some more time. Royce, I know you said you had some topics that you wanted to throw to the kitchen, so please do so.
You know, I just wanted to throw the discussion about the Atlantic Division. how that is, you know, will arguably determine, you know, the seeding, because we're trying to stay away from really, you know, playoff conversation. But when we're talking Eastern Conference, I mean, we gotta round it out at what's at the end. Who finishes 1 through 8? That's what it's really about, playing for that Larry O'Brien Trophy. So, you know, with the Atlantic Division, I would believe that we all can agree is the toughest division in the Eastern Conference. Boston, Philly, New York Knicks, Brooklyn Nets, Toronto Raptors. Who finishes 1 through 4 and wins that division?
Wow. Okay. You know what? I'll go to most first. Most in the Atlantic Division, I know you heard the teams, but I'll read them off again. You got the Celtics, Nets, Knicks, Sixers, and Raptors. He's saying 1 through 4. How do you have them listed within that division?
Yeah, this is going to be a good division. We could definitely see at least 3 playoff spots come out of this division. It's going to be the battle of the New York teams. Who's going to be the king of New York? I think Boston, you know, is there some concern? Yeah, they're getting older. I think that they're probably going to be right in the middle of the pack. I mean, this division is hard to really predict because – Philadelphia, I mean, we could talk, 4 teams could be coming out of here, forget 3. If I'm going to say right now who would win this division, I'm going to pick the New York Knicks to win the division. I think the Brooklyn Nets will be a very close second. I think Philadelphia will come in 3rd, Boston 4th, and Toronto will end up with the bottom spot for this division. I'm telling you, I think the Knicks are going to bounce back. We could see them as a 3 seed this year. Brooklyn, I you know, are they a top 4 team in the Eastern Conference? I don't know. I think they're close. They're probably, in my opinion, a 5 seed, and that would put the Sixers possibly as a 7, and the Boston Celtics could be the 8 seed this year.
Wow.
Whoa! Wow, the Celtics are tasty. This is getting interested in the kitchen. Okay,
I only believe in one team in the Southeast Division. So I mean, we could see 4 teams in the Atlantic, 3 in the Central, and 1 come out of the Southeast. I mean, that's how much I think of the Heat's division right now. I love the Atlantic and obviously, it could get shuffled around. It's going to come down to how well Andrew Bynum impacts that Philadelphia 76ers, because I could even crow in that team could very easily end up winning this division. I mean, that's how close that this race will end up being.
Does anyone know the update on when the Bulls will be back?
Rhodes, we'll be back anytime before March.
Before March?
Yeah.
Wow, so he's going to miss like a third, maybe like a third of the season pretty much?
He could end up missing the whole season. I think it really depends on the Bulls and how well they are and how much of a contender they are, whether he'll rush to come back or not. I mean, I watched the Bulls game tonight, and he was practicing on the floor like 4 hours before the game. He's not really doing anything other than shooting jumpers. I mean, he's not by any means anything stressful on his body. But I think they're going to take it as slow as possible. And March, in my opinion, they're saying that Derrick Rose is targeting the All-Star break, but I would be surprised if they don't hold him back a little bit longer and go a little precautious rather than rush him back.
Yeah, I mean, in that case, I mean, Chicago's about maybe like a 6 or 7 seed or whatever without D. Rose. I mean, that's just – so we'll see. Okay. I didn't know.
Okay, well, hang on. That's the Central. He said the Atlantic. Hold on. That's my Bulls correspondent. Moe's got the Chicago stuff all locked. If you need that Chicago info, he got you. But, Brainiac, I'm going to come to you. I do want to get serious in his opinion because I know this is crazy. Moe's just stirred the pot crazy right now with the Atlanta division. But you got five teams, one through five. I guess the Raptors are going to be the fifth seed. So let's go one through four, unless you think the Raptors, you know, jump somebody in this division. Give me your thoughts on that one, Brainiac.
No, with the Atlantic division, I would have to go New York. I mean, Boston, the Boston is long in the tooth, okay? They got, you know, the young, I think they grabbed Sullinger and Fab Melo, I guess, for Kevin Garnett to mentor, you know, that young front court. So, I mean, I think the, you know, as soon as they can get some of those young players, you know, the young front court to come around and stop playing. But like I said, they're rookies. So, you know, now – Rondo is going to keep that team held together. You know, I think he's, you know, one of the top 3-point guards in the league, okay, because he can do, you know, anytime he's just a triple-double waiting to happen. So I think that's the epitome of a point guard to me, okay? He plays like a young Jason Kidd, but even better. You know, they both, you know, shoot the same way. But to break it down, I think it'll be New York 1. I think there'll be Boston and Brooklyn. I think it's going to be neck and neck, but I'm going to give the edge to Boston because they played together longer and they have that experience factor. So I'm going to say New York, Boston, Nets, and then Philly. Those teams are going to be kind of, you know, bunched together. Like I said, they're going to go as Andrew Bynum goes. And they were Doug Collins, I think, is still the coach. So he's going to get the most out of that team. But by them scratching the third spot, so, you know, I think they're going to be close, but I'm going to have to go with Brooklyn ahead of Philly and then Toronto.
Okay, Sirius did drop off. Oh, man. I'll go first, Royce, unless you want to go before me. Paper, rock, scissors, over the phone. No, I'm just joking. Do you want to go first or me? This is tough, man.
Hey, do your thing. I'll wrap it up.
I'll go first. I'm talking junk about them. I'll go Nets first. I'll go, oh, God.
Man, what is this Nets bandwagon?
Hey, I didn't cut you off. You already broke the show with some baseball talk.
Right, okay.
Nets first. Knicks second. I can't do that to him. Knicks second. I'm going with my boy Moe's too. Sixers third. The Celtics fourth. Raptors five. Okay, Royce, I had to.
Okay.
But
okay.
Your turn with this Atlantic division.
Look, with the Atlantic, I'm going to Brooklyn Nets first.
Thank you.
New arena, all-star starters. Very solid, you know, guys off the bench. You know, I don't like to, you know, I'm not on that conspiracy thing, but let's just be clear. It's about money. New arena, Barclays Center, Brooklyn Nets, win the Atlantic, followed by the Philadelphia 76ers. Andrew Bynum pulls off the miraculous and plays around 70 games. Followed by the Boston Celtics. And I have the New York Knicks being the team that struggles the most with injuries. Followed by the Toronto Raptors. And in terms of the top eight, they're going to be bunched in the middle, 3 through 6, in that order. Brooklyn, Philly, Boston, Knicks.
I will say that I like that herringbone pattern in that Brooklyn floor, man. That's kind of funky. I like that. So, you know, like they say, it's better to look good than to play good. So maybe that'll help. But I like that. That's funky.
So quickly, Brainiac, when the Nets meet the Pistons, what's going to be the score of the first game?
I don't think he heard it.
Brainiac, did you hear me? I don't know. He might have been cricket in soup. But, Mo, did you have a topic you want to throw around the kitchen to see what we got? I got one more before we get out of here, too.
No, I didn't have anything on my sleeve. I was just rolling
okay.
with it tonight.
I got you. I got you down. Now I'm gonna put you guys in front of the burner, if you will. Right? You have to choose one. You have to choose one person.
They need to bump that ODB to Brooklyn Zoo.
Muting. He needs to be muted.
I know why you want to do that, huh, Chief Seats?
Oh no, I had to make a quick. I had to go get a square real quick, you know. So I had to take a quick break. But man, you know what would be live in that opening? I mean, they had Brooklyn had a theme song.
Wait, hold on. Before you start addressing your own topics, hold on. I got these dishes today, man. I'm back. I'm in the cafe today. Now, I asked you a quick question before I start throwing this last topic around. When the Nets meet the Pistons, what's going to be the score? Who wins?
Man. You know the Pistons fans, man, they've been kind of fair weather fans. I mean, you know, the Palace is way out of the city about, you know, and I know it's a little off subject, but I'm just going to give you the breakdown. It's about almost where the old Pontiac Silver Dome is. So it's about 20 or 30 miles out there. So we got to drive way out there to even see the Pistons or whatever. So, you know, they've been blaming it on, well, you know, I'm not going to go out to see the Pistons and they're going to get beat or whatever. Now, beforehand, you know, we used to sell out every game. We used to break records. Right. Oh, okay. it's going to be tough, but, you know, the Pistons are still young, but I think they're hungry. Okay. Now, please believe me, our front court with Monroe, with Drummond, and I think we don't forget Kyle Singler. Hopefully he can come in and do some Larry Bird type stuff. You know,
oh,
but,
God.
I mean,
so
hey,
who's going to win?
Celtics
I'm
going to
go Brooklyn Nets. I'm going Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets, Andre Blatch, drafted straight out of high school, tons of talent, was posting like 17-7. The one good year he had down in Washington as a starter, and I think if he's focused, he's going to get plenty of clock behind Chris Humphries and Brook Lopez, and he is a starting player against the second unit. And as you see in preseason, he's already gone for 20 points on a consistent basis. So, Andre Blatch, Brooklyn Nets.
And Moles, last but not least, in the entire Eastern Conference, who is the biggest addition? One player.
Well, the biggest addition will be that everyone will notice and will get publicity for it. We'll be buying him because he's being voted in All-Star Center. But the guy that's going to be the biggest impact, and it's the reason why I picked the Knicks. I already said I liked him earlier. Talked about this is the reason why I'm on the Knicks bandwagon. Early on is Raymond Felton. I think he's going to be the difference between the Knicks being a 500 team and a team that could win a division. I think the skill set that he's going to bring to this team, the tempo, but yet still being able to call plays and have the respect of the other guys, and especially the respect of Carmelo and Sotomayor. I think he's going to be a major impact on the Knicks. Plus, he has a kid by his side teaching him. So I'm going with Raymond Felton as the guy that's going to have the greatest impact on the Eastern Conference.
I cooked the dish. I got to put it out there. And if you've been around Sports City, you hear me talk a lot of junk about this dude, Joseph Johnson of the Brooklyn Nets. Sweetest jump shot in the league. And I got Kevin Durant on my team. I still like his stroke. And this opens the floor up for a guy like D-Will, that whether he's going to drive and kick, Joe be sitting out there. You know Brook Lopez does not like to bang, so if he misses long, you got Brooks grabbing at 7 feet. Or if it's a short one, you got guys like Crash down there. They're forgetting about Gerald Wallace on that team. And Chris Humphries to be down there to bang down there and get those rebounds. I think Joe sitting on the outside, being their trigger man, the biggest addition in the Eastern Conference. I have to say that. Joseph, sweetest stroke in the NBA, Johnson. Well, it's time to close this kitchen up. I got to get you guys out of here single file. So, Mr. Moles, thank you for stopping by the cafe. Give us some plugs, and let's get up out of this kitchen.
Well, I'm just going to say this. On another note, the Smartest Guy of the Week award goes to Mort Banks. He's a guy that most of us had never heard of until today. He decided 20 years ago when McDonald's decided to make a sandwich called the McJordan to save 1 gallon of the McJordan barbecue sauce. Today he listed it on eBay and sold it for $10,000. So, Mort Banks, you are the smartest man this week. I wish I could save barbecue sauce for 20 years and then sell it for $10,000. It's great to be back talking hoops. Western Conference next week. I don't know what my schedule is like. If I'm available, I'm definitely jumping in the kitchen. Don't worry, Timeless. I got something for you on Sunday because you know the Bears and the Lions talk is going to be there. Good to talk hoops. Catch you next week.
What is everybody doing putting other sports in the crossover? It's crossover. You can't crossover in football.
Hey, I'm closing out. I'm just closing out. I didn't bring it up there in the show. I'm closing out.
I know. I just had to. I can share a smile. Roy, give me a plug and a close out as we get up out of this kitchen and bring back your next.
Glad to be a part of the Crossover Cafe, second season for the cafe, first year for yours truly. And I got to say, the most talked about dunker in the Eastern Conference to make ESPN, SportsCenter, highlight reels, YouTube flicks, Gerald Green, Indiana Pacers, watch out. He going to do his thing coming through, and I'm out.
Last but not least, Brainiac, give me a closeout as we get up out of the kitchen, brother.
Well, I'm going to give you a closeout. I think I found some old open pit barbecue sauce. I'm going to put a Jumpman logo on it and see what
right,
I can
right,
do
right.
for you. I see what I'm going to do on eBay or whatever. Hey, you know, it probably tastes the same. But anyway, I don't have much to say with that. I don't have much to say about that. But all I got to say is Detroit Tigers up 3-1. We held off the Yankees, and now we're going to close them out, and I'm out.
SportsCityChefs.com. Check us out 7 days a week. The voice stays busy. I'll be back on this here NFL free-for-all in tomorrow. Oh, man, great epic show. That's why I love the Crossover Cafe, because it just goes down in this kitchen every single day, man. It's something interesting that we got in store for y'all. But you already know how this story goes. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know. calling out the world through my rear view. Hope this baby cream is God. He can help you with your problems, Thug Brothers. Why when we come through, they can relate to Chef. Music help them with their problems. Turn us up. What's your problem? Sports City, that's all I got. I'm gone.